preaching down off of 3rd and Main. As I was passing by, he was talking kinda crazy, warning us all about the end of time. So out from the crowd, I just asked him, how could God love a mess like me? Son, I'm a preacher now, but that ain't who I used to be. He said, you'll never know, you'll never know just how far love has brought me. You'll never know who I used to be. 'Cause I've been around and I've been down to the bottom of hell and back again. I was almost out, I was at my end, but then love stepped in. She worked downtown at the halfway house almost every day. Since the day that preacher told me about his amazing love, I was lost and alone, and the lights came on and hope set my heart free.
Something to prove, 'cause I have walked for miles and miles in that same pair of shoes. You refuse forgiveness like it's something to be earned, and sometimes pain's the only way that we can learn. You can never fall too hard, so fast, so far that you can't get back. When you're never too late, so bad, so much that you can't change. So afraid.
speak with a silver tongue, convince a crowd, but don't have love. I leave a bitter taste with every word I say. So let my love be the proof, the proof of your love. Let my love look like you and what you make.
Climb out of this boat and then onto the crashing waves, to step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown, where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand. But the waves are calling out my name and they laugh at me, reminding me of all the times I tried before and failed. The way they keep on telling me, time and time again, boy, you never win. You never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says, do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says, this is for my glory. The giant's calling out my name and he laughs at me. never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says this is for my glory.
Welcome to Bible Study Tonight. The Watching for Jesus program, I'm going to bring a special one tonight. I guess it's special because it's going to talk about the fake Jesus that's coming down the pike. So many people get caught way behind the power curve. A lot of preachers, a lot of congregations, a lot of people. You know, you think sometimes... Oh, those may be joining us tonight. My name is Thomas Gamble. On this 1st of January, 2013. Oh, no, it's 2014, yes. 2014. I did that on purpose. I've been writing 2013 all day today. I know that some of you out there that's listening right now, there's a few there, quite a few, but anyway, that are losing these friends things going on in the Facebook, and family members are kind of not wanting to talk to you. You walk up to a group of people, they kind of leave. Okay, here he comes, here she comes, we out of here. Facebook, you get ganged up on. Man, this is just practice, man. It's just practice. So when you start thinking, well, you know, what good am I doing? And sometimes that crosses my mind. You know, you wonder. I've been wondering it for 4 years now, but obviously I'm doing some kind of good, I guess. I found out recently when the website was taken down, et cetera, et cetera. So apparently somebody's real upset. So good. That means it's working. I didn't think that before. I thought, well, doggone, you know. Well, obviously somebody is. So that was for me an indicator. It's funny how negative can be an indicator, a good indicator. Anyway, but some of you out there, you're ganged up on. King James Bible's not inerrant. And they'll come up with all kinds of nonsense. But never, you notice this, never can they ever provide you a scripture that shows that it is. Not even one. Never. They can't do it. And when you start telling them, okay, give me an example exactly. What are you talking about? What chapter, what verse? They can't do it. And if somebody would actually, I'll be right back. And they'll go to some site, 101 contradictions, 101 whatever, and they'll pop it up. I promise you, every single one of them can be eliminated because of twisting the scripture. Well, now, if you can eliminate it, how come they can't? You ever thought that question? Ever had that question in your mind? If you can go ahead and show them what's going on here, how come they can't? How come they can't take the initiative and find out themselves about their own so-called contradiction of the Bible, of the King James Bible? And they got 101 of them, or 1,001, and every single one, and 1,002, if you want to, you can contradict their contradictions every single time. Every time, no exception. How come they can't do that? How come they can't take the time to do a study on both sides? I found a contradiction, now I go back and contradict the contradiction. If you can't find, then you find out what the problem is, and you search it out every single time. That King James Bible will win out every time. Don't matter who it is. Well, they're doing the same thing now with the name of Jesus, calling him Yeshua, Jeshua. And I won't get more detail tonight about it, but here's one of the major arguments while I'm talking about it and thinking about it that I want to bring up that you can use, maybe, if you see fit or whatever, but for me, I'm going to use it. They say, well, his name in Hebrew is Yeshua, Yahshua. You got the Yahweh and all that nonsense, all right? They got all that stuff, all right. So I'm going to use the Hebrew word, and you start coming back with, well, King James Bible is the only true word of God. His name is Jesus in that. Well, what do they do? Here's their comeback. What do you do when they translate it to Japanese, to African, to whatever it is? And they list a name, and one named Chris White. He does a pretty good work, but he's not complete in his work entirely. And he truly, him, and actually Michael Hargett, who I follow, Michael Hargett, David Daniel, Sam Gibb, several others. Even Hargett says, he talks about Yeshua and Jeshua and Yahweh and all that, and shows it in the proper way that you can defend against it. But they always list the different names of Jesus in the other languages and the other translations of the Bible, the King James. Like, in other words, King James into Japanese, King James into Latin, and Italian or German or whatever, the King James Bible. And then they'll have different names for Jesus in Japanese or Chinese. Okay. God knows your heart. He knows, you know, the Jesus you're calling out for in your language. You can't speak a word of English. You're going to use what you know that's understandable. I mean, he's going to know your heart. That's not the point. Here's the point. If the language is in Chinese, they can't speak English because King James just happens to be in the English language. And so that's the most complete Bible, the only complete Bible. Then that becomes the Word of God, and that is translated in other languages. Not the Bishop's Bible, not the Geneva Bible, not Jerusalem Bible, not the Septuagint, none of that. No. Not the Torah, the whatever. The King James is the only complete Bible on the face of this planet, and the only true Word of God can be proven without a shadow of a doubt, going back all the way to creation. Because it chronicles creation on called Genesis, yeah. And God ordained it to be written and followed it all the way up till today to make sure that that Bible stayed pure. Now, do they have counterfeits? Yeah, they do. That's why the Cambridge is the last surviving one. But in any case, here's the point I want to make. The point is, if the English-speaking folks that are the Yahweh crowd, I call them, want to continue to call him Yeshua because it's in Hebrew. Well, my question is, if you're an English speaker and they use the argument, well, what are the ones that speak that language going to call him if they don't speak English? Well, they'd call it what they call him what they want to in their English, in their language of their Bible translation. Hebrew would call it whatever. Japanese would call it whatever. It's in their translation of the King James Bible. So my question is to them, if this is your logic, how come you still continue calling Yeshua? Are you Hebrew in disguise or what? You speak English, right? Yeah. Okay, so your English translation of that is Jesus. So why do you persist in wanting to use your word Yeshua, or Jeshua, son of Nun. Why do you do that? Why? They all insist on calling me Yeshua, even though they speak English. The argument is, well, it's a Hebrew translation. Okay, for Hebrews can't speak a word of English. Okay, fine. God knows the heart. We don't. He does. Well, I'll tell you why. Because the word, the name Yeshua, Jeshua, is the name being used specifically by the fallen angel who's on his way to hell called Sanan de Emmanuel. And that can be found out in about 30 seconds if you go to the search bar right now, right this second. And you pull up Yeshua, Y-E-S-H-U-A, link it to Sananda Emmanuel, or Sananda. They're saying, I am Yeshua, your Jesus. Sananda is saying it. He's saying, my name is Sananda. You can't get more clear than that. He's saying, my name is Sananda. I'm also Yeshua, your Christ, your Jesus. They're coming right out and telling you, and yet they still do not see it. They're focused on Yeshua, Joshua, Joshua, whatever. Then they come up with Yahuwah, why, whatever, just nonsense. And that's how they get to do it. That's how they get people away from the Bible and the truth. His name's Jesus. There ain't but one. He's the incarnated embodiment of God into a human and lived on this earth up to 33 years of age. He died on a cross. He rose again. And by George, he's coming back. Buddha ain't coming back. Buddha, if he existed at all, that boy is going to be judged and judged harshly. Bad. Confucius, whatever. He'll be judged. Joseph Smith, Allah, whatever. Allah's a moon god. He's going to hell. You see, it's very simple. Just name the names, you'll know. You know? Sorry. Kalki Avatar, heading to hell. Bodhisattva, going to hell. You see, you know, it's time to step up and speak out. You know, because they're going to get fooled. People are going to be fooled harshly. Bad. They don't know that yet. It's called the Great Delusion. Even the very elect will be deceived if that was possible. That's coming. And I'm telling you what the outskirts of it are, the forerunner of this big delusion. Man, she's right around the corner. I'm going to talk about that today, tonight, and probably the rest of this week. I'll talk about it again tomorrow, because I'm not going to get through to it, and I don't expect to, because I want to talk about it. I don't care about Rockefellers and Rothschilds and New World Order so much anymore, because it's going to go to hell anyway. Right now, you know who the saviors are? Let me tell you who the saviors are. That's why I don't have a... I'll tell you who the saviors are right now. You're not supposed to say when you're public speaking. Oh, here we go. SEAL commander says special operations assault on Obama has begun December the 29th. Oh, that's pretty recent. Last week saw U.S. military special forces raised to the forefront of the political picture. We're talking Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus here going on. Secret societies. Oh, I feel really safe hands tonight. Retired Navy SEAL commander Ryan Zinke, whatever, stepped up and said the special operations assault on President Obama has begun. There is where man's putting their faith in another revolution that's going to be falsified, faked, and pull people in and to placate them to the next one. You see, we've never, ever in our history won our independence, ever. Never happened, you see. Put faith in man? No. They always control both sides. Satan controls both sides of every revolution since the dawn of man began. And they think now it's going to be different? It's called placating the American public once again by the secret societies, and secret societies work for Lucifer. And my Bible tells me the truth. It says that Lucifer fell from heaven. It wasn't the king of Babylon. That's ridiculous. It's not even what the Isaiah 14 talks about. He uses king of Babylon as hyperbole. It specifically says fell from heaven. I was sent by the Most High. Isaiah 14:12. Fell, man. Down on the ground. Down out of the third heaven, out of there. He has access to it back and forth to plead the case, to accuse right now, because Jesus Christ is our intercessor. And Jesus Christ is saying, I know this person. Or I don't know this person. That's going on today, right now. The accuser is accusing and deceiving. Right now, mankind's putting faith in mankind, and it's never succeeded in the history of mankind. Never. The only time it came close was in King James' reign when he had the Bible. When he left, it just got ugly. But the King James Bible stood. Other than that, man, I can't tell you any other benevolent government, including ours, ever, you see. So man's putting faith in man. Okay, when man fails, and he will, here comes a fake World War III, and out pops out Yeshua, the fake Jesus, Yeshua, Yahweh, Maitreya. Nobody's connecting those dots. There's your Savior. Yep. And that is your false prophet and Antichrist, the real one. First, you got to have chaos. It's coming. And this disclosure of alien baloney is right around the corner. Let everybody play their game, because they're not going to listen to you right now. You know why? You know, here's the main reason why. This describes everybody. Einstein, and yeah, I'm going to dedicate the broadcast here in a jiffy. Einstein was an atheist. Einstein developed his theory, relativity. Ha! No longer atheist. He is a believer in a superior reasoning force or superior reasoning power. What's that? He believed in sort of a God. More definitive. He believed in a superior reasoning force because he could not accept God of the Bible. And here's the reason why everybody else can't, don't want to, praying that they don't have to. And that is because Albert Einstein could not accept a God that judged mankind. Because in essence, he said if he created mankind, then he's commanding judgment upon himself. He said he couldn't buy that. That's why Einstein was not a believer of the God of the Bible, but he was a believer in a God of sort. But not the true God. Because God is going to judge, and all their disbelief, denying it, not going to do a darn thing. It's going to happen. That's a promise, a guarantee he gave us. And with all the evil that's going on that's for centuries upon centuries, you don't think that God's not going to judge this earth, take vengeance of those innocents that's been murdered and raped and killed all these centuries? You think they're going to get away with it? It's not going to happen, man. No, not at all. The day those evil died, they went to hell. And they've been there ever since, no matter what century they've been. Don't matter. Right this moment, this second. And when the great white throne judgment at the end of the 1,000 years comes around, they'll be reminded of every idle word they ever spoke, of every sin they committed, before they're cast in the fire. That's going to happen. This is not fear-mongering. This is telling you what's going to happen. And those that accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, it's a free will, by the way, they'll be rewarded in heaven. At the marriage supper of the Lamb, at the judgment seat of Christ. And the great white throne judgment are two separate judgments. That's where the wheat and the tares really come from. Your so-called Jonathan Clicks and all these kind of people, they're talking about the wheat and the tares as being those that are hybrid DNA, fallen angel DNA, demonic DNA, and those that's not. Well, that's a lie from the pit of hell. It's incorrect, grossly incorrect. It's not true at all. It's more deception because they are Illuminati. The Baptist guy, the John the Baptist thing, and the Click guys and all these, Bagley and the whole rest of them, Illuminati or Jesuit. How do you know that? Because the wrong doctrine that they're using, the wrong scriptures, and the fear-mongering without solution. That's how. Lord, we thank you tonight for being able to come together at this Bible study once again. We thank you for the opportunity we have to share the gospel. And Lord, we pray for our brethren, Father, that's being targeted. We pray, Father, for giving us courage. Those that's being abandoned, those that's being insulted, those that's being that's losing friends and family and whatever, Father, to bless them, to give them courage, to let their testimony, Father, to touch the hearts of those turning away. That, Lord, to plant the seed and let the Holy Spirit grow in the hearts of those that turn away. And to give the courage and wisdom to those, Father, that's preaching the true word of God and hanging in there, Lord. We need that protection from the blood of Jesus. Father, we pray for returning servicemen, that, Lord, that when they're coming back with your Holy Spirit, Lord, that you'll negate, you'll eliminate those microchip effects of those drugs inside their body, the post-traumatic stress has been induced upon them by design, that, Lord, you'll override that. Your Holy Spirit will call to you the ones that you know are going to come. That you, Father, you'll give the divine appointments, that they'll have the opportunity to make that decision. We pray, Father, for discernment and wisdom for these coming in times that's approaching quite quickly. That, Lord, you give us the words to speak. Give us the courage to fast. And to keep our minds straight in the narrow path. Because, Father, it's going to be needed. We pray that there'll be awakening in the United States. That somebody, people will wake up, Lord, that they'll wake up to the truth about where the power lies. That's through you, Lord Jesus Christ. And, Father, we pray over to get rid of these diseases that they're putting out, the E. coli, the created flu vaccine, all the flu viruses, Father, they've been created. That, Father, use your Holy Spirit to thwart it. But, Father, we pray most of all for the return of Jesus Christ to this planet and to take down the protection these Wicca have. And, Father, for those that's open, that, Lord, that you'll seal the Holy Spirit to their hearts and use it as a guide to your Son, Jesus. And these things we pray, Lord, to lead us tonight. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Family, I am recording this again, and I can send out the MP3s by message, like I'm sending out newsletters. I can do that. Figured that out because I had to make some settings and encoder settings or whatever to reduce it. I don't know, whatever. Anyway, I remembered some things I was told, and so I'm able to put in a message. You have to keep it under like 25 megabytes or mega whatever it is, and you can put in a message and send it out, attachment. Now what I got to do is figure out how to link it up to FileZilla so I can put it as a link on my website. All this stuff. Maybe I'll be a webmaster about 2 years or so if I keep this up. Yeah. Anyway, okay. Yeshua, bless you. Thank you. You have vaccination for that sneeze. Family, I have no respect for this Yeshua and Yahweh. Because that is Yahweh, as Michael Hargett talks about, and several other theologians. Walter Vieth actually talks about Yahweh as Satan spelled backwards. I mean, that's what it means. It doesn't mean God of the Bible. In Yeshua, I got that documented on Signs of Christ by Harold Balliaz, 1977-78. It's a textbook of the Illuminati. You know, really. And it says Yeshua. It talks about Yeshua, the son of Nun. It actually describes the Antichrist, what he's supposed to look like. They're manipulating. Is he talking about Frankenstein? Yeah, buddy. They're putting that DNA together, coming up with their Antichrist. by cloning. Hello, Nimrod. Where you been all these thousands of years, Buddy Rowe? Yeah, they're piecing themselves together. A well-trained Antichrist. It's not Obama. The false prophet's not the Pope. That's the fake one. That's what everybody's got to be, got people looking at. And the man, and the United States is not Babylon. Man, it's impossible. And yet these Nathan Leals and all these people come up with making money off of these books and lying to people, or they're sadly mistaken. It's impossible for the United States to be Babylon. We're a colony of England. We're not even a country. We never have been in our history. They're not telling you that. These lying judges out here and lawyers are Freemasons, Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, etc., lying to you. They take an oath to lie. Isn't that a contradictory of terms, to take an oath to lie? Think about it for a minute. You take an oath to lie. They got to be manic depressant to do that. Or completely brain dead, waste tens of thousands of dollars getting a law degree at Harvard. For what? To lie to people? The Master Jesus, that's not Jesus Christ of Nazareth. The Master Jesus, they call him, who is the focal point of the energy that flows through the various Christian churches. They say in 1970s, is a president was living in the Syrian body, dwells in a certain part of the Holy Land back in the 70s. Travels much and passes considerable time in various parts of Europe in 1977-78. He worked specifically with the masses, more than just individuals at that point in time. And those gathered around him was quite a numerous body of pupils in 1975. Family, 1975 was the third phase of the New Age movement brought in when they invoked, well, 1975, well, I'll be. That's when Michael Aquino invoked the power of darkness in a supernatural way to begin the third phase of the New Age movement. First phase was Blavatsky, 1873 to 1897. Second phase was Alice Bailey, 1919 to 1947. Then they murdered her in 1947 like they did 1897, they murdered Helena Blavatsky, killed her too. When they're done with you, they kill you. And then the third phase was Michael Aquino, who's at the Pentagon today, the founder of SET, the Satanist, controls your MKUltra program to Pentagon. Sleep well. He invoked the Prince of Darkness in 1975. I wonder if there's a connection there. Well, it says there that this world teacher, where you get to Yeshua and Jeshua, he's preparing the way in Europe and America after the 70s. Actually, they said then, he was upon the sixth ray of devotion, of abstract idealism. His pupils were frequently distinguished by their fanaticism and devotion that was even manifested in early Christian times among the martyrs. They described this one to be rather a martial figure, strong, martial, like military, a disciplinarian, a man of iron rule and will, tall, spare, kind of with rather a long, thin face and black hair, pale complexion, and piercing blue eyes. His work at the time then in the 70s were responsible for him in giving the problem steering the thought of the Occident out of the present state of unrest into peaceful waters of certitude and knowledge, they call it. And then preparing the way in Europe and America for the eventual coming of the world teacher. That's Maitreya. Benjamin Krim. People aren't connecting these dots. He's also known, they say, in the biblical history, they say, coming before first as Joshua, the son of Nun. And you know that's a lie. That's what they say, though. Documented, page 154, the Signs of Christ. He also says that he'll appear again in the time of Ezra as Jeshua, taking the third initiation, as related in the book of Zechariah as Joshua in the gospel story. They follow the Bible. That shows you how powerful the Bible is. If they didn't, if they had control, they wouldn't follow the Bible now, would they? They'd go their own way to show the Bible's not true, but they can't do that. So the Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus boys out there, all those of you that think you're in Templars, if you want to discredit the Bible, how come you keep following what the Bible says? Won't you just change things around a little bit? It's because you can't, that's why. How come you never make your deadlines? Because God's holding you back. You can't make your deadlines because you're not in control. Many different ways of their possession. Incarnation, the physical plane method, the drugs, that's where the CIA actually uses the drugs on people to see, causes possession, what it's for, actually. Words of power, the speaking powerfully. It's what Hitler did through a microphone that had a thin veil, a thin plate of gold in it. There's a long name for kind of a microphone alchemy. Intense desire they use for the New Age movement, for mind control and meditation. That's where you get your yoga, Christian yoga, meditation techniques and so forth. Reiki, you become possessed. Oh, you get healed, but you don't get healed in the way that Jesus would heal you. It just eases the pain in the Reiki. But Reiki is designed to possess you with a demonic entity. Because many people that go into Reiki just like to do some seance, come out feeling awful bad. And they just gaff it off, don't think nothing about it. Well, they've just been possessed and they don't know it. That's why they're feeling that way. And their life goes to hell in a handbasket right soon. They don't know why. Because that demon's still there and they need deliverance. Born again? Born again in the second part. First, to get delivered and been born again. You got to be delivered to be born again. Get that demon out of you. Being demonized is one thing, but being possessed, oh, that's another. So those that take the blood oath and the Freemasons, you are possessed, literally, placated into thinking. That's why you can go to church and not blink an eye, because you are covered by a demonic entity and you don't even know it. And you make yourself feel better by doing good deeds. That's what good deeds are all about in this case. Good deeds when you're a born-again Christian, and because you want to do it, is fruits of the Spirit. When you're taking a blood oath with the Masons, you're on your way to hell because you haven't renounced it. You're being dwelt with. That's why your family's all upset, carrying on. You have troubles in your family because you brought a demon to your home. Well, I know some would say that's a deep subject. This word Yeshua, I know that some of you out there are hearing this quite often to the point that maybe it's becoming, well, why not? Well, there's many reasons why not. Who does Yeshua say he is, October 2002? Well, he says, Yeshua says, I am the one who has been among you and you, who you have come to know as Jesus. I am not the Jesus of your church tradition or the Jesus of your religious writings. I am Yeshua ben Joseph. I've lived as a man of flesh and blood. I did reach Christ's consciousness before you, but I was supported in this by powers which are beyond your imagination at present. Well, a load of junk. Anyway, sorry. Continuing. My coming was a cosmic event. I made myself available for this. Now, it just goes on and on. And right there, it tells you. It tells you. And yet these people, English-speaking people, continue to say Yeshua, Yahshua interchangeably. And they'll fight for it, man. They'll fight for it hard. And right here, he's saying who he is. Yeshua, Jesus, and Christ. The Christ energy. Oh, ding, ding. New Age movement. I came to offer you stems from a collective energy that's gone beyond the world of duality. All these words, duality is where evil and good can reside in the same body. It's impossible. That's why God's going to take the wicked out before he comes back on his earth. You can't have both. How they say it down south here, you can't have your cake and eat it too. Have one or the other. When the Christ in you watches an armed conflict between people, her heart weeps, or her heart, see, weeps for the fate of the beaten one, but she does not judge. In other words, 2 Timothy says, we rebuke, correct, about those that are not going by the scripture. That's why they use the word, oh, you're judging me. You said in your Bible, and they use the Bible, even though they go against the Bible, they still use it. How about that? And they're going to hook and crook so many people with this Yeshua thing, it's not even funny. I, the one who's now speaking, am Yeshua. I was a human being who carried the Christ energy in my incarnation on earth. The energy may be called Christ. Jesus, in my terminology, they say here, is the name of the godlike man who was a result. Oh, wow. Result of the infusion of Christ energy into the physical and psychologically reality of Yeshua. Well, let's put that a different way, the way it should be. In their terminology is the name for the godlike man who is a result of the possession of a demonic entity into the physical and psychological reality of the demon god called Yeshua. There, that's better. Because that's exactly what it is. When they talk about here that Christ's energy was poured into Yeshua from spheres of light. Spheres of light, family, those are demons. I've said this many times before. Demons are nothing more than specks of light. The fallen angels are orbs of different colors. And you notice the orbs, they keep moving. Exactly, I mean, that was exactly where that ball fell last night in New York. Did you see how the colors were changing on that sucker? That was an orb, family. That's what that ball is. That's Satan coming down as an orb in the new year. Do you understand what I've just said? And when you see that orb, it's on other planets. Other mankind, human flesh cannot live on other planets. Neither can other flesh. But they can by energy. They're not affected by the microwave. You know why? Because they keep changing their frequency, and that's why all the glitter of a, like you would see on a disco ball back in my ear, just like the ball last night. Did you notice all the changing colors and everything on the ball? That's the orb changing its frequency, because if it gets caught, it goes into the abyss and takes an enormous amount of energy, of disasters, of murder, of all kinds of things, of sacrifice of humans to get that orb back out of the abyss into this realm. That's what's going on today. It's quantum physics. So those orbs, specks of light, must keep constantly changing frequency, because if they get caught, they go to the abyss. Then they have to come out of it. Requires an enormous amount of energy from life force. You understand what I'm saying here? Oh, they just tell you right here. Jesus was the man who performed miracles and put forward prophecies. Jesus was an emissary, listen, from the spheres of light incarnated in me. Yeah, a legion of demons incarnated in him. That's what we're talking about here. In fact, he says, he's on my future self. Jesus was from my perspective as the man Yeshua living on earth in the future self who had become one with the Christ energy and just goes on. You see what they've done? That's why they won't get you used to saying Yeshua. Yeshua, no matter what language you are. This is a tricky way that they're doing it by using the sacred name movement, Hebrew roots movement. That's what it's for. That's why a lot of the Christian identity folks, Arnold Murray guys, and Herbert Armstrong, all the rest of them that were around, are changing the name of God to Yahweh and the name of Jesus to Yeshua. I had a friend several years ago, that was a female pastor. And we became friends and talked about the New World Order and all that stuff. And we first met, I think in the second conversation, it was like I said, oh, about Jesus. Who? I said, Jesus. Oh, well, his name's Yeshua. And we'll have to work on that. I said, work on what? Well, you're calling Jesus Jesus. I said, what do you mean work on it? Well, his name's Yeshua. That's his name in Hebrew. I said, well, I started laughing. What Bible are you using? You're a pastor, right? I said, well, I'm sorry, you're wrong. His name's Jesus. I can show it to you in a book if you want to see it. No, no, we're okay. Then she had me talk to a rabbi. That's a big mistake. I guarantee you him and I aren't friends. Anyway, you see, so immediately try to. So I'm an English speaker. They're English speakers. Why change the name to Yeshua? Why are they afraid of the name of Jesus for? Why run from it? Why change it? If you're Japanese and don't speak a word of English, and your Bible says it's Ezra, well, you know, God knows your heart. God knows you can't speak English. God knows the Ezra or whatever that's in the Japanese translation of the King James Bible, the one you're talking about. Yeah, man, he knows your heart. Yeah, I'll just finish telling you now why. Because they're trying to get everybody to say it's Yeshua, this fallen angel that's named Sananda Emmanuel. That's the trick they're trying to use. Very, very tricky. And they tell you 80%, 90% of good Bible study of, oh, I love the Lord and all this and all that. He's full of baloney, too, because they sneak up on you. They become your best friend, you see, until they finally figure they got you and you're following them. And then they'll switch on you, thinking you're going to follow them. No, not going to follow you. So I tell you what, this time moves fast, don't it? Now, I've been getting hit hard here the past 2 weeks, a week or so, give or take, from a couple of these. I use them for practice, yeah, you know, on the Facebook rooms or whatever you call them. And you go in there, and they jump on you, man. They're real big. You're real sneaky. They come friends with you, and they sneak up on you. And then they bring four or five people on you, thinking you're going to go along with them. I just use it for practice. But to find out what they're up to, what their comebacks are. And I try to explain this to a bunch of folks, and I give them evidence. It's not me. It's not me at all. But they got this thing called the emerging church coming out. And the emerging church is not based on Jesus, but tithing is carried over to collect money. Tithing is not biblical anymore. Tithing was for the Jews. The churches today want to let you believe otherwise. It's not. Sorry. The Holy Spirit tells you, give them 5%, give them 1%, give them 30%. Give them what you close on your back. Whatever the Holy Spirit tells you to do, that's what you do. But you got to get close with the Holy Spirit first. It's not 10% tithing. It's old law. No Sabbath either. Sabbath is old law. You see? Wait a minute now. A Sabbath day is Sunday, Saturday, Sunday. No. 7 days a week. Worship God. What do you think you're going to be doing in heaven? Playing golf heaven or something? Working a computer or Facebook in heaven? Uh-uh. You're going to be doing... You're going to be helping each other, loving each other, teaching, training, helping, whatever, and worshiping God every single doggone day. Every single day is going to be worship and love together in heaven. You see? That's what we're there. They don't have computers in heaven. And God's not going to come, Jesus is not going to come down here in a UFO. Zap, 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 beam me up, Scotty. It don't work that way. No. You say, well, how do you know? Well, because the sixth seal is a great earthquake to take down all technology. That's what the earthquake's for. 10 on the Richter scale. Oh, it's going to tear up the Richter scale. After the first, second, third, and fourth, and fifth, sixth seal, the judgment on this earth, Satan's wrath is first. God will allow him to take wrath on mankind because mankind turned away from God. Man, you've got 17 plus states that's approved the homosexual marriage by law. And they're hitting every state in the union. And that's what causes God to step away. They know what they're doing. People ain't connecting the dots here. It's unprecedented. You think it's accidental just in 1 year or less? You get the individual turned away from God. God moves away from you. Satan will fill up that vacuum. You get a country, a law, a state, a country to change the laws against God. Oh, buckle up, baby. He's going to move away and Satan's going to fill up the vacuum. That's exactly what's going on today. And people ain't getting it. God would know that they would use Sananda and Yeshua as a name for Jesus. That's why they're doing it. Jesus, Sananda, Yeshua. Yeshua is a cosmic Gaia, G-A-I-A. And it's picking up steam, let me tell you. You all do your own research on this. Do your own research. I just give you clues. Perspective based on evidence. But you do your own research. And challenge everything I say. Since you're listening to me now. Don't just listen and say, oh, Tom said this. No. Assume it's not correct. Go after it. Prove it otherwise. You see? And if you come up with yourself, you come up with a conclusion. Okay, you got a conclusion? Great. Now, prove yourself wrong. Make sure it's true, but pray for the Holy Spirit to give you wisdom, discernment. You see, study yourself approved. Challenge everything you hear. But the King James Bible, that's a whole different ballgame. That's the Word of God. It sets the standard. It sets the full standard. It's the basis of all faith and religion. All base of faith is the King James Bible, which has been proven. It's important to know. Well, you know, we live in a time today that likes to just shrug its shoulders at when you're confronted with some kind of error. Oh, so what? Instead of asking, like Pilate did, what is truth? Then postmodern man would say, nothing is truth. Or perhaps there is truth, but we cannot know it. We've gotten used to being lied to, and many people see comfortably the false notions that the Bible too contains errors. They want you to see how corrupt the government is and that man's going to solve it. Man's going to take over and we'd rather have anarchy. I had someone tell me that this afternoon, this evening, some folks on the Facebook, educated folks, said, well, anarchy is better than living under a corrupt government. I said, so what? Well, I have a doctorate degree in something, something, something. I said, what'd you do, fall asleep in college? What'd you do, fall asleep? Anarchy is better than what? You've got to be kidding me. All governments are ordained by God. Romans 13. Chuck Baldwin's wrong. Jesus Christ was not rebellious. Romans 13 says that God created, ordained all government, even if it's despotic, as a judgment on the people. Well, we don't have to serve a despotic government. Really? Okay. So we're going to replace it with another despotic government, which is 100% guaranteed. Or you're going to have anarchy. Oh, that's real smart. They're releasing felons out of prison. How come people don't see this? That's insane. To think anarchy is better than... Boy, you know, I don't know. It must be the fluoride in the water. Something. And these are educated folks. I mean, highly educated. There is an answer. And they didn't like my answer. Well, that's what you think. I said, what I think, I said, all I'm doing is telling you 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. I'm just reading it to you. It's all I'm doing. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now, man, that is slam dunk. So are we turning from our wicked ways? 17 states plus and counting and increasing are making it allowed for homosexual marriage. It's kind of against God's plan a little bit, you know, just a tad bit. This is the purpose. Satan says, how can I cause a separation of God's creatures from him? Take his people, which are called by his name, and make them prideful and lustful, to get them to forget about God and not pray, but depend upon themselves, and not to seek his face, but to accomplish it themselves, and not turn from our wicked ways, but in fact make them legal. So he'll never hear from heaven, and will never forgive their sin, and will never heal their land. He just simply reversed that scripture. How simple is that? And boy, it's working. And I tell you how he did it. I'll tell you exactly how he did it. I ain't going to spend a lot of time on it right now, but just to show you what I'm talking about, I can give you a five-step program of how he did this. Demolish the foundations of biblical morality, number one. Dismantle the foundations of biblical morality. Different ways to do it. I've already described those. Two, to dismantle the family, patriotism, individual liberty. What's ironic about that is, first, the family is created by God. Adam and Eve. Okay, that's pretty obvious. But guess who created patriotism? Satan did. Because, you see, God divided the land. God divided the people. God divided the languages, didn't he? So they would, in the Tower of Babel. So people would not get together, mankind, with one language then. Yeah, one language, one people. That's correct. People keep missing that, you know. Where'd all the cultures come from? Well, you can figure out they didn't come till after Babel anyway. One culture. That's another story. So when God divided the people so we could not get together, and the languages and the culture was developed either on a long term or supernaturally. God can do that. Either way. When God divided it, Satan said, aha, what I'll do is have them fight each other. Have them have sovereignty, patriotism, so they'll fight each other. That's exactly what happened. Create the chaos to bring the order. So now he destroys what he set up, individual liberty. He set it up. Now he takes it down to bring people together. He's doing that now. Well, as a matter of fact, What did the Pope say recently? What did the Pope say recently? He wants all religions to come together. Hint, hint. You don't have to be a theologian to figure that one out. Y'all see it coming? That's just recently. All religions get together by word of the Pope. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. We are on the precipice of this agenda taking place. Man, we are right close to it. That's what I'm talking about. People ain't seeing it. They're not seeing it. They're worried about Fukushima, which is a bunch of nonsense. The Fukushima is exaggerated, grossly exaggerated. That Fukushima is to be the plague poisoning of the third of the oceans. It's a lie. Anyway, demolish the foundations of biblical morality is one way. Dismantle the family, patriotism, individual liberty, number two. Three, discard the Constitution, the Republic, which is established. That's already been accomplished, 1938. Destroy the American free enterprise system. That's done a long time ago, 80 years ago or more. Actually destroyed 1913. And direct our attention toward the United Nations, which will drag and, if necessary, drug. United Nations is a new world order. And I got details of each one of those, extreme details on all those five areas. That's how he has subverted, said Chronicles 7:14. You see how it works? For nothing. He fails. Family, I'm trying to get the truth out as hard as I can. You know, and it's just frustrating. When you see it plainly. Doggone frustrating. Why people can't see it. You know, it's important to get across to people that the Bible is inerrant. You can't beat them up with it. I mean, you can't do that, but you plant the seed and move on. What is truth? Well, I'll talk about that tomorrow. I want to get back to talking about Yeshua and lay the groundwork for the next 30 minutes. And I'll talk a little bit tomorrow about the Bible again, inerrancy, and what you can answer back to. The sacred name movement is a basis of this Yeshua nonsense. It's related also to the Hebrew Roots movement. This is the culprit. It's sneaky. And the New Age movement, they're linked together. And this sacred name movement developed from the Church of God, the Seventh Day, in the 1930s. And supposedly, this movement began in response to the study of Proverbs 30, verse 4. What's his name and what's the name of his son? So the sacred name movement teaches that only Yahweh is to be used as the name of God, and only Yeshua is to be used as the name of Jesus. So any other name is blasphemy. See, now you know why I want to talk about the inerrancy of the Bible. And they spell Yeshua as Y-A-H-S-H-U-A, Y-E-S-H-U-A, Y-E-S-H-U-A, J-E-S-H-U-A. If you say Yeshua enough, then someone will give you a Kleenex, a napkin. Maybe they'll clean this up. You thought you sneezed. No, I said Yeshua. Oh. Or Yahweh, the tetragrammaton, is Satan spelled backwards. They're not telling people that either. Because they're afraid of the name of Jesus. And they're afraid of the name to say the word God. Because they're convicted. Now, when you go to this a little further, you'll find a strong emphasis here on the use of the original Hebrew names for God and Jesus. The sacred name movement also teaches that the followers of Yeshua have got to obey the Old Testament law. Now you see why they want tithing in there, huh? And the Sabbath? How about that, huh? That's why you're getting all that from who? Christian identity. Arnold Murray, shepherds, you're all angels that's brought down to earth in physical form. We're all angels. Yeah, no, we're not either. Sorry, Charlie. No. That's incorrect. We're not angels from another age that now we have a test case here on earth as physical beings. No, sir. And Cain is not the product or the offspring of Satan and Eve. Genesis 4-1, that's baloney. And none of Cain's offspring lived through the flood in the first place. Oh, they're sneaky. And they're good, too, man. They are good. They're good speakers, man. It's like possessed when you talk to them. I've talked to several that's gotten out of it, man. They're like brainwashed beyond imagination, I'm telling you right now. They wear and tear their heads big time. But this is why they follow the Old Testament law, because it's based on the sacred name movement. The commands regarding the seventh-day Sabbath and the kosher food laws and the Jewish festivals and all that means nothing today. Jesus Christ fulfilled the law. He didn't abolish it. He fulfilled it through Jesus. And you also have some subgroups, see, all kinds of subgroups, assemblies of Yahweh, the assembly of Yahweh, the house of Yahweh, Yahweh's restoration ministry. But they have many errors in their system, their program, their theology. The primary error, the biggest one, is Lincoln, the Hebrew Roots Movement. It's part of it. They do not succeed in understanding that the Savior did not come to expand Judaism or the Old Covenant by no stretch of imagination. He came to fulfill the Old Covenant and establish a new one. This is basic. They don't want you to know that. And they are massed out, man. They are massing. Facebook and YouTube and all that, man, they come after you and link up NSA, CIA, government, MK Ultra, death, the same movement. That's what it's all about. I suspect that's one thing they want to shut me up about. It's telling you that Yahweh, Sanan Emanuel, is a fake Jesus and a lie. And bringing in the secret societies. It's not Islam is the enemy. No, it's the secret societies that created Islam in the first place. That's what your Shriners, they build on Allah. They don't tell you that, do they? Yes, sir, they do. That's where you get that fez hat, that Egyptian fez hat dipped in blood. 33-degree Shriners. You got to pray for them, man. You got to talk to them. Preachers are failing. And by the way, one of the preachers told me not long ago that he was approached by some folks that when he was talking about sin, that they knew it was a sin and all this, but didn't want to hear about it on the pulpit. That's what, you know, slam dunk, I confirmed again. That's what they got control of. You know, Messiah's death and resurrection fulfilled the requirements of the law and freed us from its demands. Now, one example would be Romans 10:4. Use a little scripture here. Romans 10, verse 4. What does it say? For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. How can you misconstrue that? Well, that's pretty slam dunk. Galatians 3:23. King James Bible, Galatians 3:23. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto faith, which should afterwards be revealed. That's pretty clear. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us into Christ, that we might be justified by faith. In Galatians 3:25. But after that faith has come, woo, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. You know, there's a old saying about this old redneck guy behind this little old lady from Pasadena. And she couldn't hardly hear nothing else, but she could drive that car. But she's like little old lady and got that big old car and she's looking up. And that light turned green. And she just sat there. And she just sat there. This old redneck out there is blowing a horn. Beep, 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 beep. Lady, what you holding back now? That light's not going to get no greener. Well, right here, it's not going to get any plainer. You see, Galatians 3:23-25 is plain as day of what it says. Ephesians 2:15. Let's do one more. In Ephesians 2:15 clearly says, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, I have a time with that word, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. He fixed it all. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Wait a minute, did I read something cross? Yep, I read cross. Not R-E-D, but R-E-A-D. Now, why do I say it like that, mockingly? I'll tell you why. Because they're out there trying to say it was on a stake. So then they don't say they're given one body by the stake. It says by the cross. Clear as a bell. But they're trying to say, well, no, it's not a cross at all. And the cross is a pagan symbol, by the way. They kind of did sacrifices on it. So how can we sport around with the cross, a Roman sacrifice device? How can we put our faith in a device that's a torture device? God's not, Jesus Christ is not on that cross. And yet we put it around our necks. We for what? To show a Roman's torture? The Holy Spirit's inside you, supernaturally. That's where he's at. He's not on a document or, excuse me, not on a symbol or a piece of metal or whatever. It's in your heart. And then try to say, well, you worship the Bible. Well, the Bible is the Word of God. That's what he's telling us in detail. How we got here. The law. Messiah's coming. He came. He's going to die. He's going to be resurrected. And guess what? He's coming back. What the Bible's all about your redemption, about your salvation. It's not to have the Apocrypha in there. It's not a history book. It's about salvation. That's the canon. About salvation. Your redemption. It's not about religion. It's not even about Christianity. Christianity is emerging into an infiltrated Lord knows what. It's not about Jesus. You can't say Christianity is about Jesus. If you do, you got to encompass all of them, right? Which one is it? Well, they're all corrupted. So it's not about religion. Religion, in fact, is one of the named, identified, what they call in the New Age movement, ashram rays, to control mankind through religion. That's documented, man. Whoa. That's religion. Oh, you're too religious for me. They don't know what religion is. Christianity at one time might have had the right idea several centuries ago, but it's been completely and totally infiltrated. You think Satan is just going to let it alone? No. Satan is not God of this world. At the cross, he was defeated, but he is influencing force in this world. as it will happen again at the end of the 1,000 years. That's another story. Family's a lot going to happen now. The old covenant was but a shadow of the new covenant established by the Savior as a fulfillment, not a continuation. Now, we'll be talking about this all week. I got a whole slew to talk about on this. And I'm going to bust a cup, man, bust it, to try to figure out how to put this on my website with just a click and listen thing. In an easy way, I got to do that tomorrow somehow or another, tonight, tomorrow. Because I think it's important. I just feel something's coming, like real soon. You know, I'm not into this prophecy stuff. I'm not telling you all that. But it's just that feeling that every one of you have, that I have. We all the same. We got something's coming, man. Something's coming. Because these people are picking up steam and ganging up on you. And some of the crazy things going on with families, killing each other and all this. Whoa. But this focus of the sacred name movement, these names of God that they have in Jesus, is unbiblical. Grossly unbiblical. And yet these people still do it. They'll argue till they're blue in the face, and you show them evidence, and they get mad at you. The human authors of the Old and New Testament wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. They had no problems referring to God as Elohim, Hebrew. Theos is Greek. Or the Son as Isus, which is Greek. Jesus in English. The I changed to G. Isus was Jesus in the 1611 King James Bible, later changed to J, Jesus. So if it's biblically appropriate to use generic terms to refer to God and to use a Greek version of Jesus' name, why is it wrong in English to refer to the Heavenly Father as God or Messiah as Jesus? Why do they get so upset about it? Why would it be wrong to use the Chinese, Spanish, Russian pronunciation spelling of those names and titles? If they can't speak a word of English. If you can't speak a word of English, but you can. So why are they fighting to keep it Yeshua? You know, when you get the different adherents of the sacred name movement that promote it, different congregations or organizations or whatever, they can't even agree on what to sacred names are it. Well, Yahweh, Yahshua, Y-A-H-S-H-U-A, I believe, are the most common. They use Yahweh, 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 Yahuwah. That's for God. And Yeshua or Yahushua for Jesus. Man, it just gets all confusing. God's not a God of confusion. And if there's only one non-blasphemous name each for God and Jesus, you better be sure you get it right. Sacred name movement adherents can't even agree on the very core of what their movement is supposed to be about. Yet they don't see it. Why? So the sacred name movement kind of started off as an unbiblical premise in the beginning. And this thing continued by having doctrines of devils on top of the premise. Your salvation is not dependent on your ability to pronounce the name properly in Hebrew. The Holy Word was passed on to Greek anyway. And then Greek became English, a universal language. It's a universal language. God knew already because he ordained, directed, made sure, protected King James 1604 to 1611 to get that thing published to the point of sinking Spanish warships in 1588 that were going to attack England in 1588 for that very reason. God sunk those ships down for that very reason, to make sure they didn't win. The English guns sunk the rest, made sure that King James who was never a pedophile, never a homosexual, none of that nonsense. He was a godly man, as were the 47 translators. Unlike what you have today. I mean, no exception either. The scholars you have today are sporadic. You won't find them in Harvard. You won't find them in Yale. And I mean this literally. Because they're Marxist and humanist. And they're done by design, controlled by the Council of Foreign Relations and Tavistock in England, to make sure that every major college and university, I mean literally, follows a humanist manifesto, and the Marxist manifesto is followed at every major university and college to follow along with these five steps that I told you about. If they don't, that professor or teacher will be fired. The president of the college would be eliminated. Promise you, would not be there long. That's how closely it's been held. Now, I'm going to, we've got 5 minutes to go. I've hit you a lot of stuff tonight. This is Wednesday, the 1st of January, 2014, and here we go. Tomorrow night, Bible study, I'll talk about Yeshua and why we call him Jesus. If his name was Yeshua, then why we call him Jesus. I'll talk about that. I'll talk about the Hebrew Roots movement. I'll talk about the Tetragrammaton Hebrew Roots movement. I'll talk about, and I'll show you how it combines with Sanan Emanuel and this alien lie, which is what's going to happen. And the Jews think that this coming new Messiah is not Jesus of Nazareth. This is the one they expected back in 70 AD time frame. Excuse me. When Jesus came, it was not the one they expected. They didn't expect him to die on a cross and ascend. They expect him to come in on a white horse and destroy the enemy. But that comes later, called Armageddon. See, Daniel's 70th week was held back because they rejected him. What do they expect? So, you know, when you feel like kind of down and beaten and left out and all this stuff, and nobody loves me no more, and I'm losing friends and all this stuff. And that's what I was thinking. You know, why am I doing this broadcast? Why am I doing a Bible study? Only, you know, I don't have 200 people or 500 or whatever. I got a nice number, but let's say I had 10 or 5 or something. I say, well, I just shouldn't be doing this. Everybody's leaving me, jump on me. Okay. But what do you think Jesus was going through? Huh. And what does he say in the scripture, Matthew 10, 33 to 42? He's going to separate families. Freemasons, you better listen to what I'm telling you. If your wife or children become born again in the church you're going to, become born again, and you don't renounce that blood oath, man, you're not going to see them ever in history. I mean, ever in eternity again. You'll never see them because you're going to hell. Because you have not renounced the blood oath. You've not gotten out of the Freemasons, Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus. Mankind is not going to fix it. Knights Templar, you will not fix it. All you're going to do is placate the situation. You know you will. Because you gave a blood oath against God. You think you're working for him? No, you're not. Jesus Christ never married Mary Magdalene. That's nonsense. You're not protecting the bloodline of anything. You better worry about your own salvation through the Jesus Christ sacrifice on the cross. That's how you'll be judged. It's not about some patriotic fervor or something, whatever. Some romantic knight on a horse kind of thing going on. It's all nonsense. Jesus Christ is the only one that's going to defeat Satan. Oh, I do believe that Yeshua had a Mary of some kind, and they had a bloodline. It's called the Merovingian bloodline, Queen Elizabeth bloodline. We're talking fallen angel going on here, yeah? That was in France? Yeah, now that's possible now. Sanan d'Emmanuel, who looks like Jesus, might have been the one passed on the DNA. Yeah, buddy. I guess the most massive sweeping thing I could say before I leave here. If you actually right now, when we turn off here, or if you haven't done already, look up the name Sananda Emmanuel, Ascended Master. Actually do it. And then you see what he looks like. And then you tell me, since the day you were born and you saw what appeared to be Jesus, that ain't Jesus. All of our lives in portraits, movies about the personification of Jesus has been wrong since the day you were born. The day that, because nobody knows what Jesus looks like. Nobody paid, didn't stay still for someone to paint a portrait back in the, when he was on the earth. He didn't take any baby shots. He didn't do a selfie. Allegedly, someone did what they could recall, a stone carving of his head, and supposedly the Vatican has it somewhere with the one of Sananda Emmanuel. It's all legend. Doesn't matter. Look at the Sananda Emmanuel, Yeshua, and then look at the Jesus we look at today. It's not the same. Oh, that is, excuse me, that is the same. It's not Jesus of Nazareth. I think y'all will be surprised when you see Jesus Christ coming in the clouds. It won't be the one we've been thinking was Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the long hair, blue eyes, and in the photos. That's sweeping. To tell a preacher that, to tell a congregation that, anywhere to think you done lost your mind. Everybody said, well, that's Jesus right there. Really? How do you know? Who says so? Now, it goes back to Leonardo da Vinci, doesn't it? So keep going back. Leonardo da Vinci, in fact, was an avatar. I got it documented. He was an avatar of the fallen angels. He was not a genius. He channeled those inventions by one of the three methods I mentioned before. So that's where he got that photo. Portrait. That Last Supper. That's where he got his knowledge from. Being channeled by fallen angels, by demons. Harold Belliaz, Signs of Christ, talks about Leonardo da Vinci being an avatar. That's huge. So is Martin Luther back in 16th century. Martin Luther was another fraud. He worked for the Jesuits. The Vatican created Protestantism to use as chaos. The Vatican created Islam in the 6th century. The Vatican created Zionism, Nazism, fascism, communism to create sovereignty, flags, patriotism, and war. That's exactly what every one of those were for. Every single time. And the evidence is clear. You see what Satan's done? That's your war for you. Family, they've lost. Pray for the humans to see the truth. God's going to use you. It's not going to be easy. You're going to lose a whole lot of friends. You're going to have a whole lot of people mad at you. But look what Jesus went through. This is practice. Pray for protection every day. Fasting, you got to do it. Y'all have a great night. I'm going to end the prayer. Lord, we thank you tonight for us being able to come together. We thank you tonight that we're able to pray together and, Father, to learn. And, Father, use your Holy Spirit to give us that wisdom, discernment, to read the scriptures, to understand what's being told to us. And, Father, to give us the words to speak to others as you set up divine appointments. Father, lead us along this new year. And, Father, that we can share the gospel with each other, share the truth, and to keep us protected that we can do this. These things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Well, family, appreciate y'all coming by. I am going to try to figure out, if y'all can figure it out for me, let me know, but I'm going to work out hard to try to see I can, what do they call it, sync? Whatever, sync FileZilla with my website, WordPress. I got some ideas, but it's a little complicated for this old boy here, but I'm going to try to figure something out. So all you got to do, again, like we did last time, see the other folks that did all that messing around, he knew his stuff on the websites. I mean, really good stuff. Of course, then again, they work for NSA, so they ought to. But nevertheless, we'll figure it out, and I want to get to where people can download it or just click it and listen. Because family time's moving along, you see it happening. And people are getting all nervous, and families are pulling apart. But also, people are looking for answers. That's the other thing. That's the good part about it. Just make sure you're the one there that's giving them the answers and be ready to fight. Be ready to defend the truth. Y'all have a great night. And know one thing for sure, that Jesus Christ is alive, and he's coming back. And we'll talk about that tomorrow night, too. You remind me of this, will you? Jesus Christ, our coming King, Sacred Name Movement, Hebrew Roots Movement, the alien technology and all this sort of thing, we're going to bone you up on it because it's coming. It's called the Great Deception. The greatest deception ever told is coming down the pike. Y'all have a great night and a great week. Because remember, you've won already at the cross of Calvary. We're just counting the casualties. Have a great night, and God bless.
My confusion disappeared in sweet relief. And every fear I'd ever had just melted.
God bless and good night.